Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look to the first reading, which is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 32 to 40. Brothers and sisters, what more shall I say? I have not time to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, did what was righteous, obtained the promises, they closed the mouths of lions, they put out raging fires, they escaped the devouring sword out of weakness. See, when you give your weakness to God, out of weakness they were made powerful, became strong in battle, and turned back foreign invaders. Women received back their dead through resurrection. Some were tortured and would not accept deliverance in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others endured mockery, scourging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawed in two, put to death at sword's point. They went about in skins of sheep or goats, needy, afflicted, tormented. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered about in deserts and on mountains, in caves and in crevices in the earth. Yet all these, though approved because of their faith, did not receive what had been promised. God had foreseen something better for us, so that without us they should not be made perfect. In other words, they did this in faith. They suffered this before the time of Christ, so the gates of heaven were not yet open to them. They became open to them, but much later. They did it because they knew it was right. How much are we willing to endure? How much are we willing to suffer? How much are we willing to stand up for the truth, whatever it costs us? And it can cost. I know some people have said to me, I'd like to speak out in my work situation, but I've got a family to support and I have to have the work. I understand that. So you go to the Lord and you say to the Lord, Lord, my first obligation is to my family. If I cause trouble here, I know I'm going to be fired. Will you help me through this dilemma? Show me what you want of me. Help me. Touch the heart of my employer. Change his heart. Change his mind. Or give me an alternative. Show me a way. You just keep praying that way and God will do it. Rather than saying, well, can't do anything about that, gotta bring in the money, and you drop it, rather than going before the Lord and asking him. Father Mike Scanlon, former president of Franciscan University of Steubenville, Father Michael used to say something that so struck me, and I've never forgotten it. He said, the Lord is always Lord of the third alternative. Think about that. Because usually we say, well, I can either go this way or go this way. And we stop because we think, well, that's all there is. And his point was, sometimes the Lord can propose a third alternative you never would have thought of. And I found that to be true sometimes, not always, but I found it to be true sometimes. So when you're coming before the Lord and you say, Lord, there's only two ways I can go, this way or this way, and both of them aren't workable. I don't know what to do except to just be quiet and stay where I am and just say, Lord, you're Lord of the third alternative. If you want me to do something else than these two things, teach me, show me. And just keep praying that way. Keep putting it before him. And he'll either change your circumstances or he'll give you a third alternative that you never would have imagined. Somebody walks up to you and offers you a job. Surprise, surprise. You think, well, that will never happen. Don't be so sure. God is very faithful to us. He doesn't just do it because we prayed it. What we need to do is pray, I want your will. And one of your options might be to show me a third alternative. Be open. Trust him. Follow him. Psalm 31, let your hearts take comfort, all who hope in the Lord. How great is the goodness of the Lord, which you have in store for those who fear you, and which toward those who take refuge in you, you show in the sight of the children of men. You hide us in the shelter of your presence from the plottings of men. You screen them with your abode from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, whose wondrous mercy he has shown me in a fortified city. Once I said in my anguish, I'm cut off from your sight. Yet you heard the sound of my pleading when I cried out to you. God will hear us. Don't give up. Keep praying. Sometimes ask the Lord to show you the third alternative, if there is one. And the gospel for today is taken from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, at once a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit, so that means somehow evil had some influence in his life, a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. You got an evil spirit at work there, trying to destroy this person. Of course, you become afraid of them because you see his power. Power doesn't just have to be physical, but sometimes it is. Night and day among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. We could probably diagnose this condition, but it's very clear that evil has a part in it. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Whose voice is that? It's not that man's voice. Whose voice is that? The enemy, the devil, speaking through him. Somehow, in some way, the enemy's been able to get into his life. There might be other physical and psychological problems, but the root of it is a work of the enemy. He asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." Do you hear that? That's evil speaking. That's evil. Jesus had said to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of this man." And of course he had to obey, but he did it with all kinds of gyrations and screaming and oaths and all kinds of things, which would push everybody away, wouldn't it? And make you afraid. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him. These are the evil spirits. They pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea where they were drowned. The swineherds would be terrified. They ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside. People came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by Legion. Legion was the name because Satan comes with many devils, or at least he expresses himself through many devils. He's a legion. His name is Legion, meaning thousands. And they saw the man who had been possessed by Legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were seized with fear. Ah, odd. How did this happen? They heard the story of what happened to the swine, and now they look at this man who's been wild for years, and he's sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. And then they began to beg him to leave their district. Look at that. He's done a miracle. He's freed a man from evil. And they're terrified. They're terrified by that show of power. So what they want to do, just get out of our lives. Just get away from us. The swine are dead. Such turmoil. They aren't looking at what God's doing. They're looking at some of the side effects. And they just want them gone. They want to be restored to their difficult life. Because at least they know it. And they know what to expect. They're frightened of this power. As he was getting into the boat, this is Jesus, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. Let me go with you, Jesus. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you. Sometimes we want to do a particular service. We're excited about that service. And the Lord, in effect, says to us, go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity and his mercy has done for you. God uses us in different ways. And we might say, oh, gee, that'd be exciting. I'd like to go here. And Jesus says, go home to your family and tell them what has happened. Announce the good news to them. They might mock, they might ridicule, they might choose not to listen, but obey the Lord. Do what the Lord asks you to do. Always be faithful to that, even if you'd like a little more excitement sometimes. Do what the Lord asks you to do. If you do that, in a certain sense, if I can put it this way, the Lord will come to trust you. Of course, he sees all and knows all. He doesn't come to trust him. But he's waiting to see whether you will follow his will and do it his way. And when he sees that, then he can entrust more gifts to you. But it takes a willingness to do God's will, God's way. The man went off. This man, the man who had been filled with evil spirits, then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. See, Jesus didn't want to take him with him because he wanted him to be the harbinger, the bearer of the good news by what had happened to him physically and psychologically, and he wanted him to testify to that right in his own place. Again, that man wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus, of course, would be with him wherever he was, but Jesus wanted him to exercise the gift of witnessing to what God had done. A powerful gift that can bring people to faith. But, you know, in all these places, God was, in Christ, was showing people what he wanted them to do, and it wasn't what they first wanted. It turned out to be the very best thing. And that's what God, if we do what God wills, it's going to bear tremendous fruit. But it takes, as I've said all this week, it takes a trust to be able to do that, a trust in God. So ask God, I want your will more than my own. Give me grace to embrace your will, that God might use us to heal and to restore many others. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.